You are listening to the Dharma Ocean podcast. Mahamudra is a profound tradition of Tibetan Buddhist meditation that allows us to explore the vast space of our basic nature. Today's episode features the first half of Reggie's introductory talk to Mahamudra for the Modern World, a 37-hour intensive training course produced by Sounds True. Mahamudra for the Modern World is available for download at dharmaocean.org.
I want to welcome everybody to this training program in the Mahamudra. The Mahamudra is a meditative tradition that comes to us from Tibet. And within the Tibetan cultural framework, it's considered the pinnacle of all the teachings of the Buddha, the quintessence and the innermost heart of the Dharma. And I must say that it's a very happy occasion for me to be able to present these teachings in this way. I've been preparing and waiting for this moment for 40 years. And although it's taken a long time, the moment has come. The moment has come because of the world situation, because of the maturity of spiritual practitioners in a very wide way. And frankly, I think because whatever forces or beings who have been custodians of these teachings for probably 2,500 years are pushing me to offer what's offered in this training program. The Mahamudra is the most profound training in meditation that there ever could be. It's interesting because it has a beginning that's accessible in a very wide way. There's a very specific and effective, powerful process of meditation and transformation. And it's endless. It actually has no end. The Mahamudra, once you learn it, becomes the instructor and the teacher in a path of meditation that takes our life and takes our journey and opens it into, literally into infinity. It's a tradition with a beginning, but it has no end. The Mahamudra is impressive as a meditative tradition because of the level of radical transformation that it makes available. On one level, the transformation that it offers is our own spiritual unfolding. It gives us a way not to become somebody different, but to become the person we always have been and deeply long to be, but we've been afraid and unable to cash in, so to speak, and to take possession of our life fully. But also, the radical transformation enters into our relationships, and the Mahamudra provides numerous tools and techniques for working interpersonally with people. Transformation of work so that it becomes not drudgery and not some kind of onerous and deeply tiring duty, but that it becomes a process of engaging the world, connecting with the earth and opening. And I'm not talking about creative work alone. I'm talking about any kind of work we could ever do, from flipping hamburgers to changing tires to hoeing a field. The Mahamudra also brings radical transformation to our communities, and those of us who practice within a community of meditators have been astounded, really, at the level of openness and intimacy and mutual nourishing that can occur with the Mahamudra as a guide, so to speak. Mahamudra enables us to radically transform human suffering, not only our own suffering, but the suffering of other people. Many people are well aware that the Buddha taught about how human suffering is a fundamental aspect of our condition, and that the spiritual path requires us not to run away from it constantly and try to avoid it, but to turn and look at it and see what it is and accept it. And while that's true, the Maha Mudra transforms human suffering. It helps us see it in a different way. And really, the goal of the tradition is to develop within ourselves a kind of deeply satisfying contentment about being alive, a blissfulness about being in our bodies, a happiness at what life is, even though it's short and fleeting, tasting the bittersweet quality of life and deeply appreciating and enjoying it. And ultimately, the Maha Mudra transforms suffering into very profound and timeless joy that we have our life, that we have this being, that we have this world, that we have this opportunity to live and to experience our life. And finally, the Maha Mudra is transformative in the way that it takes a look at the world ecological crisis, social disruption throughout the planet, and all of the other ills and torments that plague this globe of ours at this time. In particular, the Maha Mudra teaches us and shows us and brings to our experience the power and the integrity and the beauty and the dignity of all of the forms of being that are part of this world, not only humans, but animals and the vegetal world and the natural world, the oceans and the skies and the mountains and the rivers. It teaches us that each aspect in this world of ours has its own being, its own energy, and really its own life, and its own right to be what it is and to be part of this vast dance of being that constitutes this universe. When our eyes are open to the world in that way, then we are able to take a very different approach to the planet as a whole. Often, ecology focuses on the detriment of our behavior as humans to the planet because it's ultimately going to be a detriment to us as humans. The Maha Mudra takes a much bigger and much more profound approach and says everything has a right to be, everything has a right to live, and brings this into our direct experience. When we see the world in that way, we can no longer prey on it and despoil it the way we've been doing. The Maha Mudra has been in formation for probably 2,600 years since the time of the Buddha. Up until now, it has not been available, owing to the geographical remoteness of Tibet, owing to the fact that it requires a level of practice and psychological openness and engagement that was not really possible for most people in Asia in general, and particularly in Tibet. And so for that reason, this tradition has been held by a very small group of people. But now it is becoming more available, and it is a tradition that, although it's 2.5 millennia old, nevertheless, strangely enough, it's completely up to date. Trungpa Rinpoche, my own teacher, often used the analogy with Maha Mudra of freshly baked bread. The tradition itself is like the bread recipe, but until you actually mix up the ingredients and put the exertion and the sweat into making the bread and put it in the oven and bake it and then take it out of the oven and smell it and cut it and taste it, it's not real. In the same way, the Maha Mudra only exists as a recipe. And our challenge as modern people at this point is to take the recipe and bake the bread for ourselves and see just how nourishing and delicious it might be. Mahamudra is composed of two words, maha, which means great, or space, and mudra, which means manifestation or phenomenon. Mahamudra means the open perspective of our mind. When we feel open, when we feel our mind is relatively empty and available and peaceful, that's maha. Mudra means anything that appears in our ordinary everyday human life. It's anything that happens, any experience that arises within the openness of our mind. The purpose of Mahamudra is to bring us into a state where our mind is so peaceful and so open and so available that every human experience appears as a kind of miracle. When our mind is completely taken up, overrun by strong negative emotions or by obsessive thinking or compulsive fantasizing, the incessant chatter of our thinking process, when we look out at our world and when we experience things, we never really see anything the way it is. We're always seeing through a very dim haze of the pollution of our own mind. What Mahamudra says is, if we can clear out the pollution of our basic mind and we can open our awareness and we can arrive at a state that is peaceful and uncluttered, then when we look at the world, the things that we see are, first of all, intensely real. They're vividly appearing and they're filled with meaning. Sometimes people feel that their lives are meaningless. And it isn't that their lives are meaningless. It's that they are not able to see the meaning that their life has. We feel often so claustrophobic in our mental life and our life experience that we can't really see the meaningfulness of the things that occur in our life. So the idea of Mahamudra really is to open us up to experience our lives in a direct and transformative and meaningful way. My intention in teaching this program has several parts. First of all, I want to help you to understand this tradition within the framework of modern life and as a powerful transformative spiritual option for us as modern people. In a few minutes, I'm going to talk about Mahamudra as a Tibetan tradition and then Mahamudra as a potentially very powerful modern tradition. So number one is just to help you understand the tradition. Secondly, and most importantly, I want to instruct you and guide you in the Mahamudra practices. I think sometimes we think that meditation is a very simple process where we're given a technique and we sit down and we might do the same technique for 20 or 30 years. According to the Mahamudra, meditation is as varied and as resourceful as the human mind itself. In the Mahamudra tradition, there are a number of major areas of practice, and within each of these, there are many techniques. And even though the corpus of Mahamudra practices is quite large, the journey of Mahamudra is very simple. And what I want to do is not only show you some of the main practices and show you how to use them, but I also want to show you how they unfold on the path and how you as a person who is in a process of spiritual growth and transformation might make use of this tradition at different stages on your journey. The Mahamudra practices enable us to engage our own life and to take advantage of all of the intellectual and emotional and psychological and spiritual things that go on with us. Meditation, seen from the Mahamudra viewpoint, is not applying a technique to, in a way, control our experience and to weed out the uniqueness and the creativity of our own life. Mahamudra actually goes in the opposite direction of opening us to the unique, incomparable inner life and outer life that we have as individual human beings. Its intention is to show us, again, that what happens in our own personal life, our exact situation, is a gateway for us to grow, to transform, and actually to touch something very much vaster than our limited ego self. So I want to help you understand the tradition as a modern possibility. I want to instruct and guide you in the practices. And then thirdly, I want to work with you to help you see how these practices can help us be people in the world, and not only to live deeper, more fulfilling and more effective lives in whatever we're doing in life, but equally and maybe more important, how we can come from this tradition, come from the practices, come from the transformative experiences that the tradition holds to be helpful in the world, to address these various areas of dysfunction and conflict and suffering and unhappiness that we see everywhere. In terms of your engaging in this Mahamudra training, we could ask, you know, what should your approach be? One thing I want to say is that it's very, very important that you see, you realize, that this training series, this training program, is not offering you something that invites you to exit from the person that you are and to exit from the life that you have into something bigger and better. My teacher, Trungpa Rinpoche, once said that the training in Mahamudra doesn't help you live up to the person you want to be, but it helps you live down to the person you already are. It doesn't help you realize the highest ideals that you may have in your mind about spirituality. It helps you realize that the ultimate ideals about spirituality and the goal that you seek is already available and waiting for you in the person you already are and the life that you already have. So Mahamudra is not a download of information. Rather, it is a key whose intention is to open up the full depth of who we are as people, in our body, in our mind, the exact karmic situation that we have, the experience of human life that is ours. So my invitation is for you to stay grounded and rooted in your own person and your own situation, and to look at Mahamudra as a kind of golden key that is going to open up the treasures and the freedom and the joy that is in your own person and in your own life and in your own situation. We have to become who we truly are. Real liberation, real freedom, doesn't happen when we free ourselves from our lives and from the person that we are, even though these may seem painful and problematic and claustrophobic and imprisoning. If we view liberation as freedom from, there's always this thing that is out there that we have walked away from. And liberation in that case is very conditional. It depends on us being able to keep at arm's length who we are and what we are and how we are. Real liberation, as it's viewed in the Mahamudra tradition, is freedom for the life that we are and freedom to be the person we already are. Mahamudra, then, is not a substitute for life, and it's not an alternative to life. It's a doorway into life with a small L, our life, and it's a doorway into life with a capital L. Life and spirituality at this point are no different. To live one's life and to be a spiritual person are the same thing. In terms of the basic attitude that I would encourage in you in this training, please realize that there is a journey to be made. It's a spiritual journey. It's a life journey. It's the journey that we have in us as human beings. The Mahamudra says that the journey of human unfolding as a spiritual person is already within our genetic system. It's in our bones. It's in our blood. It's given in our human genome. It's at the very root of who we are. Making a journey is not an option to us as humans. We can resist the journey, or we can give in to the journey. If we resist it, we suffer hugely. If we give in to it, we rejoice greatly. This human journey begins at conception, at least, and it goes through babyhood and childhood, where all of the traumas that everybody suffers as newborns and babies and children become part of our experience, part of our karma. The Mahamudra takes a very positive attitude toward trauma, saying that it gives us things we need to work on in order to grow. We develop during these years a human ego, and that's also part of the journey, separating from the undifferentiated vastness of our very, very early years and making ourselves into a small but coherent self that has some measure of self-consciousness and control over the world, though it's very limited. Then in adolescence, the ego begins to mature and deepen. We begin to find our place in the world. And then at a certain point in adolescence or in our 20s, we begin to need to be bigger beings, using the ego as the stepping stone. Then we begin to grow beyond the ego, and the ego continues to be a very important part of our system, but it begins to become more transparent to a much vaster and larger, much deeper, more profound, more powerful way of viewing the universe. And it also becomes a managerial function that helps us organize our lives and become really people who are self-consciously spiritual and on the spiritual journey of dismantling our smallness and opening to a bigger self. So this journey of ours is already implicit in us as humans, but the Mahamudra seeks to bring it more into focus, to give us more of a sense of trust in the journey itself, to develop a more awareness of our inner voice, which is really critical on the journey, that we learn to trust ourselves and listen to our deepest nature, which is our ultimately our most important guide, help us to trust our experience, and help us to really eliminate a lot of the static and the confusion and conflict that we have as young people and young adults that have come from so many different sources, our families, our friends, limited ways we have developed trying to deal with our fear and anxiety about life and so on. So the Mahamudra enhances the journey, deepens the journey, and makes it more powerful and direct and joyful. The Mahamudra tradition comes from Tibetan Buddhism, and I want to say a couple of things about Tibetan Buddhism and the Mahamudra within the traditional Tibetan context before talking about Mahamudra in the modern world. Tibetan culture is a very unusual culture throughout the world in the level of religious focus that the culture had and religious cohesion. Buddhism originally was not a religious tradition. It was a human tradition. It was the result of one person, Shakyamuni Buddha, seeking to find out who he was and what his life was for. In time, Buddhism became a very complicated religion with all of the things that we in the West associate with strong, powerful religious traditions, and also a lot of the limitations and problems. But within Tibetan Buddhism, there was a small group of people from the very beginning, from the middle centuries of the first millennium, who really focused on meditation and spiritual transformation, and they really never became imprisoned by the religious establishment in Tibet. These people lived in caves, they meditated, and they passed on their lineages of meditation from one to the other. And that is a huge gift that Tibet has given the world, that as the world over the last 2,000 years has gone through so many changes, and as traditional cultures have progressively been destroyed, as many, many, many very profound and powerful religious traditions have been either outright destroyed or polluted and consumerized, that within Tibet there was this preservation in absolute integrity of the Dharma, and particularly of the Mahamudra tradition. I think, you know, all of us owe Tibetan culture and the Tibetan religious traditions and the men and women in Tibet who carried on, often at great expense to themselves and at great personal sacrifice, who carried on these spiritual traditions of Mahamudra meditation, we owe them a tremendous amount. When I had my first contact at the age of 20 with Tibetan Buddhism in Asia, first of all, I felt the power of Tibetan spirituality, and I felt at that time that the Tibetan meditative traditions had an enormous amount to offer the modern world. It was just an intuitive feeling, but it seemed to me something worth devoting my life to. After nearly 50 years spent with Tibetan Buddhism, I feel even more strongly that this is so. I feel that whatever it is in the West spiritually that has been degraded or destroyed, that the Tibetan traditions can bring us back to life, so to speak. They can help us develop a pathway back into the spiritual ground of our being as human beings. And I think the Tibetan traditions also can be adapted to the modern world in ways that many of the ancient religions, and particularly the indigenous traditions, have a lot more difficulty making that adaptation. When I was 20 and first entered into the study of Tibetan Buddhism and studied it in college and then went to graduate school and taught it at the university level, I thought the translation of Tibetan Buddhism into the modern world would be easy. I thought all we really needed to do was just study with the Tibetans and find out what they did, and then just do it. And, you know, frankly, I did try this for a long time, and I even taught it for a long time. But it became evident after a while that this approach was not really working very well. And it wasn't working because the Tibetan worldview and Tibetan values and Tibetan even religious protocols, Tibetan ways of practicing the Dharma, while appropriate for Tibet and very effective and transformative within that ancient, even medieval cultural context, actually was not possible for Western people because we live in a different world, we have a different understanding, and we have, in a way, a much more detailed and accurate view of many, many things that the Tibetans never really looked into, such as the world of psychological dynamics, such as the negative impact of religious institutions on people's development, the way in which power is often used in a narcissistic and self-serving way, and meantime it's clothed in the guise of religious language. The modern scientific worldview, which many people criticize, but it really has given us a much more detailed view of the universe and how it works. The need that we have as modern people to engage people outside our culture. The negative impact of racism. All of these things, and many, many others, are part of our worldview as modern people, and all of them actually have implications for how we are spiritual.
To download more of Reggie's teachings, find out about upcoming retreats, and to explore a variety of audio listening guides to assist you on your spiritual journey, please visit dharmaocean.org. Music is by Jeff Beal and Nawang Kechog from the album Tibet, Cry of the Snow Lion.